I invite you to open your Bible, please, once more to that passage of Scripture that we've been reading each morning, 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. It reads in this way: whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begotten also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's look back again at our text, our central truth this morning, verse 4, the second part of which reads, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. I invite you in our final chapel together on this occasion to join me in the consideration of the fourth of the fabulous four cardinal truths by comparing scriptures with the lines of the words of the song Victory in Jesus. The final stanza of the song says, I heard about a mansion. You get it on the screen, I think, and hope that they would leave it on the screen all the time I'm preaching. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. This stanza and abundance of scripture teaches about what is described as the blessed hope. I want to examine that in some detail this morning to see if it is really a blessed hope. The fourth of the fabulous four cardinal truths I call triumph over destruction, victory in the return of Christ. What is commonly referred to as the second coming of Christ includes two facets. One is the blessed hope, which is called the rapture of the saints, or is called the secret catching away. And the second is the visible second return, or second coming of Christ with his saints. First in the rapture, he comes to get his saints, and now in the return, the second coming, he's coming with his saints to reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. That is a millennium, 1,000 years according to the Latin. The clearest statement about the blessed hope of the church is written by Paul in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13, where it reads, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. The word blessed here is a translation of Makarios and literally translates as extremely blessed. Extremely blessed. The word hope is a translation of the Greek word doxis, and it translates as anticipation with pleasurable confidence and expectation. Glorious appearing is a translation of doxis, which translates as the glory of. Appearing is a translation of the word epineon. We have it in English as epiphany. Epiphany, which literally means a shining forth. It was used of the appearance of a god to man in pagan past societies or cultures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 also deals with much of what we have been considering in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Our song is clearly rooted in Scripture in references about the blessed hope. Notice that third stanza. I heard about a mansion he has built for me. Glory. Here we have a clear allusion to John chapter 14, verse 2, which says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Consider the next line of that third stanza of our song. It says, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Here we have a clear allusion to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 21, which reads, and the streets of the city was like pure gold, like transparent glass. Also, beyond the crystal sea is a reference to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1, which says, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. Also, Revelation 4 and 6 says, there was a sea of glass like crystal. Look at the next line of our song. It says about the angels singing and the old redemption story. This is a reference to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, which says, and they sung a new song, saying, you're worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Let me repeat it. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. That means Filipinos. And that means Americanos. Hallelujah. The stanza ends with a reference to singing the victory in heaven. In these words, in some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. I wonder if that song that we sing up there in the fifth chapter of Revelation will be Amazing Grace. I've long thought that it would be. Or will it be victory in Jesus? Either of those songs will be okay for me. But come to think of it, we will have plenty of time to sing both of them and to sing them forever and forever and forever and forever. Throughout the ions of eternity. That means the ages, and you can conceive, as is told us in the Old Testament in a couple places, that just age upon age upon age upon age, that is strings of ages all hooked together without any cessation. Plenty of time to sing them forever. We can observe with great victory six aspects of the triumph over destruction by the rapture of the church. The first is the coming of Christ in the rapture. This is our imminent and blessed hope. By imminent we mean it can happen any moment. Something has to transpire in the history of man, or the fulfillment of prophecy. The rapture of the church can happen any moment. It is imminent. We're not looking for the Antichrist, you and I, nor are we looking for the Great Tribulation. Some are expecting a mid-tribulation rapture of the church. Some are expecting a post-tribulation rapture of the church. You and I are expecting a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. A rapture at any moment. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We're not going through God's wrath. We're going to be liberated ahead of it. The second aspect of our triumph over destruction by the rapture is the coming of Christ, and the rapture will resurrect dead believers. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, that is, with those who have been dead, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory a Dios. The third aspect of our triumph over destruction by the rapture is the coming of Christ, and the rapture will change. That is, it will glorify living believers. Paul described the process of glorification of our bodies in 1 Corinthians 15:51-52 with these words. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We're told that in other scriptures as well. And thus we have seen that the rapture enables both the living and the dead in Christ to triumph over death and over the grave. Therefore, believers triumph over destruction in the return of Christ. The fourth aspect of our triumph over destruction that comes by the rapture is the coming of Christ, and the rapture frees believers forever from pain and sickness and sorrow. And in references in the Bible, and especially in the book of Revelation, to promises for the removal of the effects of the curse But John summarizes this rapture of freedom best in Revelation 21 and verse 4, where he says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Aren't we grateful for that truth this morning? If you're grateful, would you say amen?
Amen.
And it seems to me that hallelujah would be in order as well. The fifth aspect of our triumph over destruction that comes through the rapture is the coming of Christ, and the rapture frees believers from the great tribulation. The original language indicates the tribulation, the great. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." Jesus said through John to the Assembly of God, that's the first Assembly of God in Philadelphia. I put that to catch on now. First Assembly of God in Philadelphia. That's the way Ecclesia can best be translated. It's not church, but assembly. Revelation chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth." Verse 11, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what I have given to you, that no one may take your crown." Sixth aspect of our triumph over destruction by the rapture is the coming of Christ in the rapture will bring rewards for believers according to their works. It was said in Revelation 22, verse 12, "And behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." Paul gives detailed explanation in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 17, of the importance of what believers build with on the foundation of Christ. He shows in verse 12 that those who build their spiritual house with gold and silver and precious stones, and it endures, will receive a reward. But the opposite is true, according to verse 12, for those who build their spiritual houses with wood and hay and straw, these will be tried with fire, according to verse 15. If anyone's work which he has built on it is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Time will not allow us to explore the very pertinent references of Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10, "But those who are not prepared, who have not good works, will suffer purging." Dr. P.C. Nelson, who was a great writer, who was the first president of the institution where I received a bachelor's degree and later taught, served in administration for 14 years. Dr. P.C. Nelson wrote a little book on the 16 fundamentals, and you probably have seen that. If you haven't, I hope you will. We have a course here in Pentecostal schools of Pentecostal doctrine. Look for that book in your library. Dr. P.C. Nelson, writing about the blessed hope, has a beautiful paragraph with which I will conclude this message this morning. Dr. Nelson says, and I quote, from a world of poverty and pain, of madness and misery, of suffering and sorrow, of war and woe, of weeping and wailing, of death and desolation, we are snatched away into a land of eternal life and peace and joy and bliss, far removed from all the troubles of this sinful world. There God himself shall wipe away all tears. Revelation 7, verse 17, in this quote from Dr. Nelson. What a change! What a blessed, blessed hope. The truth of this message is so urgent that it's difficult to find a stopping place, and yet I must do so. A little boy near where I live in Texas was too small to work on the farm, so he stayed home at the house with his older sister, who cooked lunch for the rest of the family while they worked in the field. Each day he would listen for the old grandfather clock. You know what that's like? Have you seen one of these stands real tall? It's got a pendulum that swings back and forth and makes it tick-tock, and then at certain hours it will ring a gong telling what time it is, so if you're not looking at the clock, be in your house, be in bed or whatever, you can hear the sound, hear the gong. So this little guy stayed home and listened for the old grandfather clock to strike 12 o'clock. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 strikes. And when it did, he would run into the field to tell everyone to come to the house for lunch. One day the old clock hung. It malfunctioned, went crazy. It struck 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and on, and on, and on. And little kid jumped up and ran frantically into the field, shouting at the top of his voice, "Mom, Dad, everybody, you better hurry. It is later than it ever has been before." I submit to you this morning, young people and faculty and administration, that on God's great time clock, which incidentally does not malfunction, on God's great time clock, it is now later than it ever has been. Father, we bow our hearts before you now. We thank you for your blessed word. We thank you so much for the privilege of opening the blessed book four times during the chapels here at Bethel Bible College. For the generosity of Brother Becerro and his family and the faculty and the administration, and for the wonderful response of these young people. Now, Lord, as we come to this final moment, I pray that you bless and help and give us joy and anticipation of the coming of the Lord. Would you stand with me, please, and would you make your way down here to the front very quickly, and we're going to worship the Lord together, and then someone will come for the dismissal of the service. Would you make your way up here quickly, please? Come close so we can have some togetherness. Coming ahead, let's sing that third stanza. I heard about a mansion he's prepared for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Let's sing it together. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about singing the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and your redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and loved me with his bleeding blood. He lift up your hands now and make your prayer and your praise to Him. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, we pray. We long for your coming. We're tired of this old world. It's sin, it's shame, it's degradation. Oh, Lord, we thank you that your coming is near, and we'll hasten the day as we worship you and serve you. Wonderful and wonderful and more wonderful, Jesus Christ our Lord.